I'm on the phone with Doug Albin, a farmer in Clarkfield in western Minnesota. He is also chair of the Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council. Doug, I'd like to begin by asking you about how the 2015 growing season has gone to this point. So take us back to the spring and when you were able to start planting and then go from there.
Well, spring started off pretty darn good. It stayed cold for quite a while coming out of winter, and then we had really nice spring conditions for planting. Adequate moisture to get a crop started. Field conditions were ideal. And farmers got the planters rolling early and got out and got after it.
You plant predominantly corn and soybeans?
Yes, I do.
What were some of the pressures in cornfields for you throughout the growing season?
Well, we started off kind of cold. Some farmers delayed planting until conditions got absolutely perfect. And fortunately, we had a window of opportunity to take and plant during that time period. Got the seed into good moisture, warmed up, corn took off and started growing. The biggest challenge we faced was it started growing too fast and farmers got caught, had to hurry up and put on the application of nitrogen if they needed it. And of course, everybody was out tissue testing and seeing if we needed additional nitrogen for the growing season and evaluating their crop conditions and whether they had enough nutrients to carry a big crop through.
Did you have to turn to a different implement because the corn was growing so rapidly, like a high clearance way of coming in to side dress nitrogen, or were you able to use the equipment you already had on hand?
No, we used the equipment we had on hand, side dress, anhydrous, or the 28% liquid. We had some beautiful days for putting it on. Conditions were just all right. I think I only got stuck once with the applicators, so we had just the right amount of moisture to be encouraged and not enough to be stuck all the time.
How'd you do from a weed control standpoint this year?
Weed control has been a challenge. We're one of the areas where we're starting to notice a little bit of weed pressure coming in from weeds that are resistant to Roundup. And a lot of guys switch their programs, especially on beans, to bring another mode of action in there. A lot of interest coming up on all different chemistries that we can use on beans, whether it's Liberty or 2,4-D or what they want to do with it.
I know in southwestern Minnesota in August, a lot of rain, and because of that, some disease problems, some northern corn leaf blight's been reported. You're a little bit further north than that area, but did you also see an abundance of rain to the point that it created some issues too?
Actually, we had perfect growing conditions here. We never had too much rain. We never had too little. The ground never really dried out. We didn't have excessive rains. A year ago at this time, we were looking at 8 inches of rain in just before 4th of July, and then the rain shut off and it didn't rain again. This year we've spread that 8 inches out through July and into August here.
How about for soybeans? What have been some of the primary challenges this growing season?
Well, we got good emergence. We got good planting conditions, and then farmers turned and started focusing on weed control. And like I said, we're in an area where we've got some of those resistant weeds, and farmers went out and maybe sprayed it with a pre-emerge herbicide, which they haven't done for many years. And then they came back in and hit it with Roundup plus some other chemistries to control those weeds. And I've noticed a lot more people walking their fields pulling and cutting out weeds this year than I have before.
Did you have any problems with aphids?
Oh, aphids are an automatic. You build that into your budget, and you figure about the third week in July you're going to be spraying, and we're looking forward to the day where we don't have to have the planes circling.
There were reports of some growers having to treat multiple times for aphids. Did that happen with you?
No, it didn't, but I've got neighbors that farm down the river bottom where the aphids seem to migrate into first. And they spray early, and they plan on coming back a second time in spring.
So would you say at this point, Doug, you're about a month away from starting harvest?
Yeah, I would imagine we'll be starting on beans. Beans are nice and green, yep. Some of them are just starting to turn, so we're probably, it'll be 20th of September or someplace in there that we'll get started on beans, I imagine. And actually, our corn is coming along probably faster than the beans are. We have guys that are going to start chopping silage next week, probably the early part of the week, and a lot of the corn is already starting to dent. And it looks like it's going to be a good crop.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask about next. From the description of the growing season, it sounds like the crop's in really good shape. If you were to forecast yields or just a general performance of this year's corn and soybean crop, what are your expectations right now?
We're going to have an above-average crop out here. I have a feeling our corn is probably going to be averaging in that 185 to 195 area, which is a little bit more than what we're used to. And soybeans, I've been out walking beans, and I hate to even guess on beans, but we're going to have an above-average crop on there, too.
Have you started harvest prep as far as your equipment?
Oh, yeah, that started way back in June. Get the combine in, start going through it, make sure everything is working, check and make sure the mice haven't eaten any wires that are going to cause problems. Going through and make sure everything's ready to go rather than doing it at the last minute, get it done early.
And then planning for 2016, has that started in earnest for you, or will you wait until you get the results of this year's crop before you start making your seed selections for next year?
We'll probably wait and see. We've been out evaluating hybrids already. Doing the kernel counts and seeing what the stands look like and the vigor of the hybrid. And, of course, the ones that stand out are the ones that are, you know, starting to get weak stalks or breaking over. Make sure they've got good ear retention. And, of course, all of our seed salesmen, they're coming around. They're saying, well, we've got this new one, and it's the latest and greatest.
They'll take advantage of that buddy seat in the combine cab, won't they?
Yeah, they will. My wife is going to be pleasantly surprised when she gets out there this year. She typically runs the combine for me, and every once in a while a seed salesman will come ride along with her, and then she works on the price more or less. You got to lower the price so we can afford to plant more of this.
Well, and a loaded question here for you, Doug, but generally speaking, what kind of a marketing strategy will you have going into the winter based on current commodity prices?
Oh, that's a tough one because we're in various stages here. We've got some pre-sold. It looks like an attractive price. And right now, prices are well below the cost of production, and it's really hard to take and sell anything below the cost of production. Probably taking a look at buying some call options just to give us an opportunity to take and enhance the price when it does finally start moving to the upside. And wait and see what the crop actually turns out to be. Export markets, I expect they're going to start opening up. Falling price of oil, less impact on the railroads. Maybe they'll be a little more eager to haul corn and soybeans out of here.
Have you already, or are you planning on adding additional storage to give you a little bit more flexibility?
No, not on the storage. Most of the guys around here have got adequate storage for at least 1 year of crop. And there might be some 2014 crop left in the bin, but I think it's fairly minor.
You fall into that category where you don't have any of the old crop remaining?
Yes.
Great. Doug, anything else about the upcoming harvest that you wanted to mention?
Well, I hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable harvest. I know Sioux Falls area last night, they must have gotten just a deluge rain down there, and so those guys are going to have some challenges. And right now, I think we're looking at really good harvest conditions around here. Corn seems to be hanging on good. The fields aren't too wet and soggy that we're going to be able to avoid rutting them up and hopefully get the tillage done.
And finally, as the chair of the Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council, what are some of the big issues or topics that the council is looking at right now, Doug?
Well, of course, we continue on with the research that we've got in place, and the researchers are coming out with new and innovative ideas on how to produce the crop and how to make use of it. And right now, we find ourselves in a position where we're not going hand-to-mouth as far as new uses and everything. If you're running a surplus, that means you've got room to take and find new uses for that corn. That's what I'm kind of looking for here, is that some of those things that we've kind of put on the shelf, although they're minor users of corn compared to livestock and ethanol in the export market, every little bit helps. And we're waiting to find the next big use for the crop that we raise out here.
Do you have an example or two of some of those more minor opportunities, the potential? What would an example or two of that be?
Well, we've got researchers that are, are actually taking DDGs from a ethanol plant, backside of the ethanol plant, and they're looking at the idea of making that into a food-grade cookie. And, you know, while a minor consumer, that's, you know, it's little pieces that make up a puzzle. And so we're kind of focused in on some of that stuff, little niche markets. And, of course, anytime you have something like that happen, people look at it and they go, well, I could do that, and I'll come up with something different. So we've got some real entrepreneurs around. We've got some really good researchers, and they're always looking for new uses.
Yeah, those DDG cookies were available at FarmFest.
Yes, yes. We handed those out and asked people what they thought about them, and they were actually pleasantly surprised. And the scientist, the researcher from South Dakota that was working on them, they were more than happy to share what they've been doing with the DDGs.
It's amazing the value-added opportunities that come from corn and soybeans.
We live in an exciting time. I really believe that we're just about ready to find new uses. We've had some hiccups with the EPA with the next generation of biofuels. But I think we've got some great possibilities out here if they just turn us loose and say, we need this for the country, and society demands it.